beloved. We are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis for his highly offensive comments about Dr. Anthony Fauci.
You have people like Fauci saying that his lockdowns didn't cause any permanent damage to any young kids. I got news for you, it did. And I'm just sick of seeing him. I know he says he's going to retire. Someone needs to grab that little elf and chuck him across the Potomac.
Putting aside DeSantis' total disrespect for the exalted office of high scientist and scribe 8th degree, the real problem here, obviously, is that a sitting governor of the third largest state in the union has threatened violence against a U.S. citizen. And if such criminal incitement to Fauci-tossing weren't enough, he has also engaged in one of the oldest and most sinister forms of racism by so callously insulting the elf community. First of all, as the International Elven Anti-Defamation Colloquium has publicly said, Fauci is not a member of their race. Now, there is apparently some uncertainty whether he might be a halfling, but he is most definitely not an elven pureblood. Second, the elves are very angry because everyone knows that one does not toss elves, one tosses dwarves. And given the long-standing animosity between the elves and the dwarves, for DeSantis to conflate the two in such a contemptuous way only fosters the marginalization of non-human races by making it seem like they're all interchangeable. Third, the use of the word little is, of course, horribly sizist. And for a person of height to speak so arrogantly about someone who is alternately heighted makes everyone a little smaller. Fourth, and most upsetting, as we all know, the White House under Fauci's leadership during the pandemic never approved any vaccines for either the elves or the dwarves. Fauci didn't even run trials on them. As a consequence, the decimation of both races has been horrific, adding insult to injury by even pretending to refer to Fauci as an honorary elf. This monster of a governor must be stopped. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, what a wonderful surprise to see one of our very own win her primary in New York State this week. One of the women endorsed by Her Highness Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, State Senate candidate Kristen Gonzalez, has been consistently running on a platform of free healthcare, aggressive climate action, building a green New York, and queer liberation. With her victory, she proves what she said and we all know to be true.
I know we're saving the speeches for a little later, but today we really prove that socialism wins.
That's right. When given a true choice between oppression and liberation, the proletariat always chooses the freedom of total government dependence. And if they do not, that's because the patriarchy has brainwashed them with their propaganda about individual property rights and free market choices. But, as insert gender-neutral honorific here Gonzalez said, the fight will not end until all are free.
We are not going anywhere, and we will not stop until we see a socialist state across this city.
Preach the dream, sibling of no particular gender. Preach it. For standing in the gap created by shoddy public works, for holding up the banner ads of net neutrality, and for showing that votes truly can be bought with promises of rent reduction, tuition subsidy, and intersectional validation, Kristen Gonzalez, we salute you in a completely non-militaristic way. May the fraudulent votes always be ever in your favor.
Woe unto all who offend!
And finally, a hearty congratulations on the large leap forward in social equity taken this week by our beloved President Biden for single-handedly wiping out over a third of $1 trillion of injustice in the form of student loans. Yes, sometimes the glory of seeing the walls of capitalism torn down with such vigor can really take your breath away. By so dramatically downgrading the values of personal responsibility, self-reliance, and choices having consequences, dear leader has indeed advanced the cause greatly. Now, of course, everyone is raving about the humanity of this act of loan redistribution from the O's to the O-naughts, but the real success in this plan is the reaffirmation of the basic social structures we, the people of the holy clavern of self-righteousness, believe in. If the plumbers and electricians and auto mechanics of America did not know their place in our liberal caste system before, they surely do now. Yes, under all circumstances, we must remind people that anyone who dares to not attend an institution of higher indoctrination will forever be relegated to a lower tier in this country. If they insist on starting businesses, creating jobs, and performing essential services work, well, that's allowable. But so long as they do not learn about gender studies and racial anti-hegemonics and language justice theory, they will never have their debts forgiven because they remain indebted to us, the ones who make their endeavors possible. But a person who does receive a BS degree in the deterrence of microaggression or the fabrication of moral outrage, well, these are the people to whom we owe the debt, truly. For reminding those who hold on to the old values of thrift and prudence and resist the manifest destiny of safety net liberalism that they are the barbarians inside the gate, thank you, Comrade Biden. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
When they hear your sweet voice.